me again, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Our text this morning, found in the verses 11 and 12. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Our Father in heaven, we call upon thee now in this our time of need, that thou would give the needful grace and help to both preach and to hear the word of God. May thy Holy Spirit give utterance to this preacher, and may he give to each and every one of us hearing ears and obedient hearts to thy truth. To come and speak to us, we pray. And as thou dost see the need, we pray that thou would bring the word of God to every heart. Should it be a word of encouragement that's needed, come and give it, we pray. A word of rebuke, a word of consolation, a word of encouragement. As thou dost see the need, we pray that thou would meet it. And may we rejoice each and every one in being found in thy house this morning. May we be able to say that the Lord was here and our souls were blessed. We do ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me say by way of introduction that 2 Samuel chapter 23 gives us a list of David's mighty men. These were a group of highly trained soldiers who fought alongside King David and aided him in many of his victories. And out of these mighty men, there were three in particular that served as David's personal bodyguards. And these men and their exploits are described in the verses before us this morning. I want to focus in on just one of these three mighty men, and his name is Shammah. And he is described as a man who took a stand against overwhelming odds and won a great victory with the help of the Lord. And I believe he is a man from whom we can learn much this morning. The Bible tells us that the Philistines were attacking the people of God. And as they came, the children of Israel ran away. All except this one man, Shammah. The Bible tells us that he took a stand in a field of lentils, and he won a great victory. May the Lord be pleased to speak to us through this little passage this morning. The first thing that I would have you notice from our text is that it was a time of great conflict. It says in verse 11 that the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. The Bible is clear when it tells us that the Philistines were attacking the people of God. They have marshaled their forces. They have gathered into a troop. And for the children of Israel, this will be a time of great conflict. Now, what is interesting is the timing of the enemy's approach. When the Philistines came, the people were to be found in the fields for the harvest. That's why we see Shammah taking a stand in a field of lentils. And the reason that the enemy came at the time of harvest is because he knew that the people would be occupied in the business of getting their crops out of the fields and into their barns. They would be busy. They would be active. There would be long days of work and labor ahead, and perhaps they were tired. And so engaged were they in the work of gathering in the harvest that they would not be prepared for the approach of their enemy. Men and women, that's when our enemy the devil, the wicked one, that's when he would come. You see, the time of harvest is a time of great joy. It's a time of labor and exhaustion, working hard to get the crops into the barn that we might enjoy the fruit of the harvest. And our attention can be so focused upon what we are doing that we are not prepared for the battle that is at hand. And when the enemy comes, he catches us unawares and unprepared. The enemy will come in times of great blessing. And we may be engaged in the work of God. We may be doing many wonderful things for the glory of our Savior. But if our minds are so occupied with other things, we might miss the enemy as he comes by stealth. We can be so busy in the work of God that we fail to see the wicked one as he approaches. I want you to turn to the back of your Bible for a moment to the book of Revelation and to the chapter 2. And in this portion of Revelation we have what's known as the seven letters to the churches, where the Apostle John writes to seven local churches in Asia Minor and brings them a report from the Lord. And to the church at Ephesus in verse 1, one of the better churches we would have to say, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So here's a message from the Lord. Here's what he says, I know thy works and thy labor. So here's a busy church. He knows their works and their labor. In fact, the word labor means that they're working to the very point of exhaustion. They're busy. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. So here's a church that is following a pathway of righteousness, seeking to walk with the Lord. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So they know the truth and they're prepared to follow it. Those that are against the truth of God, they are setting to one side and leaving. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. So here's a busy, evangelical, doctrinally sound church. I hope it's one that we can identify with. Listen to what verse 4 says, however. Nevertheless, in spite of all of these things I've just said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They've been so busy in the work that they've been doing, all of their programs and all of their activities, that they've lost sight of the Lord. Thou hast left thy first love. And what's happened? The enemy has come in. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. They were so busy, engaged in church life, that they didn't realize that the enemy had come and inflicted a mortal wound to their heart. So busy doing good things, they'd lost sight of the Savior. And we can be so busy doing good things and engaged in church activities that we lose sight of the Savior. Yet God would have his people to be prepared. He has not left us without warning. Indeed, we are told in the words of Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you want a clear illustration of how we are to labor, then I suggest you come along to our midweek Bible study as we go through the book of Nehemiah, because there we will see that those who labored in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem had a trowel in one hand and their sword in the other. They were busy working, but they were prepared for any attacks that might come. So the enemy came at a time of harvest when the people were busy and engaged in the work of the field. Now, why did he come? Well, he came for two reasons in particular. Firstly, to inflict casualties upon the people of God. And secondly, to destroy their harvest. You see, the Philistines realized if they could wound their enemies and bring them into a place of captivity, or if they could destroy their harvest fields and remove from them their food for the incoming year, they would be a people that would be hungered and easily defeated. And they would make easy captives in the long run. And so the soldiers would come, and they would march through the fields, and they would trample down the crops, and they would slaughter all who would stand in their way. They would seek to destroy the people of God. Well, the same is true concerning our spiritual enemy, the devil. He comes to inflict casualties upon the people of God. He wants to destroy testimonies. He wants to ruin lives. And he also wants to destroy the harvest fields. He will attack in order that we might be weakened and then more easily enslaved to his will. I want to let you into a little secret this morning. The devil does not mind us having a church here in Kingston. He doesn't mind that we come together and we sing and we read the scriptures and we preach to one another. He doesn't mind any of these things at all. However, should we decide that we are going to get serious about serving God, that we're going to go to the world around us and we're going to tell them of our wonderful Savior, and we're going to seek to win men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to get serious about serving God. Mark this down. The devil will take note. And he will attack. If it is our chief desire to witness for the glory of God, watch out. When God's name is being praised, when we have come to that decision that we are not satisfied in being like every other church round about us, that we're going to take a stand for the Lord, then watch out, trouble is on its way. As long as we do nothing to extend the work of God beyond these four walls, the devil will not see us as a threat. But let just one or two people decide that we're going to do something for the glory of our Savior, then the enemy will seek to invade our field of lentils and trample down our harvest. And you'll notice that it says that the Philistines gathered themselves into a troop. They're well marshaled. They're well drilled. They have one single purpose. Here's a group of soldiers. It's not a ragtag bunch of mercenaries. They're under the direct command of their leader. And you'll find that they've come from various places and have been molded into a fighting unit. The enemies of the Church of God will come from many different places. And while they may be different in their outlooks and their beliefs themselves, they will join themselves together into a troop against the people of God. And here they come, marching down upon those harvest fields. What do they find when they approach? The people fled from the Philistines. The people ran away. There was no opposition. And the Philistines would march into the fields and trample underfoot that precious harvest, and the people would flee in terror. Sounds a little bit like the church sometimes. As long as things are going well, everyone's happy. But allow the devil to stir up some trouble or some opposition, and you'll find that there will be those that will run for the hills. No one wants to take a stand today. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We don't want to stand through for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder that churches are falling apart? No one has the courage to stand up against the attack of the enemy and to look him in the eye and say, by the grace of God, you will not take this field of lentils. We are engaged in the greatest spiritual struggle that the world has ever seen. We are seeking, with God's help and grace, to reach this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil is fighting against that every step of the way. And while God has placed his church in this world to be a light for his glory, how often do we run away rather than taking a stand for God and for his glory, knowing that the enemy is coming in, seeking to destroy the work of God, and we, like the children of Israel, we flee. We won't even take a stand and protect that which the Lord has given us. Yes, it was a time of great conflict, and it called for a man of great courage. And you'll find in the opening part of verse 12, we read concerning Shammah, that he stood in the midst of the ground. Shammah stood. He resolved in his heart that I will fight for this field of lentils. He's made up his mind. He's not going to run away from the battle. Now, maybe he had run before. Maybe on other occasions when the enemy had come, he had fled like everyone else up into the mountains, hiding in the caves, waiting for the enemy to go, and only to find upon his return there was nothing but ashes left. Maybe he had run before, but not this time. He's going to stand against this troop of Philistines. And it may be that it will cost him his life. Let's remember, he is one man against a troop of soldiers. But Shammah has resolved, not this time. There are some things that are worth fighting for. And in the church we can stand back, we can run away as the enemy approaches. We can go the way of all the others, running and hiding as the enemy tramples underfoot everything we consider to be precious. Or we can decide and resolve in our hearts that we will take our stand for the glory of God. We can make up our minds this morning that we are tired of seeing the devil hinder the work of God. We can purpose in our minds and say there are some things that are worth defending. Now, why did Shammah come to this decision? Why did he fight? Because he realized without that field of lentils, without that harvest gathered into the barns, without that food, his people would perish. They would go hungry. They would starve. They could be captured. If his people were going to remain, they would have to eat. And if they're going to eat, then the field of lentils will have to be defended. And if it's going to be defended, then I'm going to have to do it. Let me suggest some things that are worth defending today. The church is worth defending. The good name of the church. The Word of God is worth defending. This precious book that we hold in our hands, we cannot give it away. We cannot delete parts of it. We must defend it. We must defend old-fashioned praying and preaching and praising God. We need to defend clean living and holiness. We need to defend the reputation of our church. We need to defend our young people and our children and our little ones. There are things that are worth fighting for. And that's what Shammah has decided. There are things that need to be defended. Oh, he could run away. then he loses everything. We could run away. But we'd have nothing left. The Bible tells us that as Shammah stood in that field of lentils, the Lord gave him a wonderful reward. He slew the enemies of the people of God. And because he fought, he enjoyed a great victory. If he had run away like everyone else, he would have been defeated just like everyone else. And the enemy would have prevailed. We have to take a stand for the Lord. We have to do those things that are right, those things that are important, because if we don't, then who will? We claim to love the Lord, and yet we won't defend his name. We claim to love his word, and yet we won't defend it either. And if we don't stand and resolve to defend and to fight those things we believe to be precious, then when they are gone from us, we cannot complain. The enemy will have secured his victory. The cause of Christ will have been hindered because we have refused to fight the good fight of faith. And we will have no one to blame but ourselves. If we want the reward of victory, we must arm ourselves. We must put on the armor that God has provided for us. We must take our stand and we must fight for the glory of God. We must defend his truth. We must maintain his cause. We must seek to promote his kingdom. And because in this time of great conflict, God found a man of great courage, you'll find that it was a time of great conquest. The last part of verse 12 says, the Lord wrought a great victory. You see, it was really the Lord who won the victory. Yes, it was Shammah that stood in the field of lentils, but it was God that gave Shammah the ability to stand and the power to fight and the skill to win. The Lord gave Shammah the victory over his enemies. It may have been Shammah that held the sword, but it was God that fought the battle. We find that all through the scriptures. When David ran down the valley to go and face the giant Goliath, what did he cry out? The battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. When Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego stood their ground and refused to bow before the golden idol of Nebuchadnezzar, they were thrust into the fiery furnace. What did they find? That there was one like unto the Son of Man that came alongside them, provided them with the victory. When Daniel refused to obey the edict of the king not to pray to God for 30 days and was thrust into the den of lions, what do we find? God shut the lion's mouth. God provided the victory. And all down through the ages, when men have taken their stand for the glory of God, it is the Lord who has empowered them and given the victory. When we face spiritual battles in life, we need to remember that the battle is the Lord's. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15 says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Oh, may the Lord give us the victory. We stand for his cause. And whether we win or lose, we have done what the Lord requires. We will have been faithful. We have done what he has demanded. The Lord defeated the enemies and he defended the ground. The ground was preserved and its harvest was preserved because one man was willing to stand in those fields and protect them. And the people were saved from slavery and from starvation. If we don't take our stand for God, then rest assured that the devil will take everything from the church that he can get his hands upon. And if he takes away our Bible, tell me, what will the following generations read? What will they eat? If he takes away our desire to witness, who is going to tell others the good news of the gospel? If he takes away our desire to pray, who's going to stand in the gap and pray and call upon the Father to save souls? If we don't maintain these things, we will lose them. These are the things that give us power. These are the things that make us great for the glory of God. And if we do not fight and defend them today, then the people tomorrow will starve. If the field is not protected now, then the harvest will be lost and there will be no fruit to enjoy. And if I will not stand, and if you will not stand, then who will? I look down and I see a row with my family in it. I think to myself, if I do not defend and stand in the old paths for God, if I don't maintain these truths, if I don't seek to witness for the Lord and pray and teach them to pray and teach them to read the Bible, if I don't do it, who will? The harvest will be lost. And I'm sure you have loved ones and friends, family members that you desire to see come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if your ability to witness to them and to pray for them and to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's taken away from you, who's going to tell them if you don't? The enemy is still attacking the people of God. And we can bury our heads in the sands and pretend it's not happening. Or we can run to the mountains and hide and hope that they'll not find us there and seek to isolate ourselves from everything that's going on. You know what we'll find? If we give the devil an inch today, he'll ask for 2 inches tomorrow. Maybe he should put in the metric, shouldn't he? We give him a little today, he'll take more tomorrow. And he'll come back the next day for even more until there's nothing left. And people are fleeing the scene of the battle, abandoning the harvest, choosing to flee rather than to fight and to defend the cause of God. Tell me, where do you stand this morning? Are you going to stand idly by while the enemy ransacks the church? Or like Shammah, will you take a stand for the glory of God? Will you seek to defend his cause? And regardless of the consequences, will you maintain for the glory of the Savior? Will you stand in the field of lentils even while others are abandoning the cause? Will you come before the Lord this morning and tell him that you realize that there are things that are worth defending? That there are loved ones that need to be saved. They need the harvest for the bread of life tomorrow. And with his help and for his glory, that you will stand for the glory of King Jesus. That you'll rally to his cause. That you'll march beneath his banner. That you'll fight the good fight of faith. That you'll stand in the field of lentils until the victory is won. We're just new to Kingston. You've been here a whole lot longer than we have. This is the little field that God has given you to labor in. This is his patch that has come to you by his grace and glory for you to labor in for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you defending the harvest? Are you laboring for the Lord? Have your eyes open for the encroachments of the enemy? Have you purposed in your heart like Shammah? We're going to stand for Christ. But the call this morning is to stand for the Savior. for His glory, for His cause. May the Lord enable us to do that. And may the Lord be pleased to bless us with a great victory and a spiritual harvest. And may many more follow our lead and rally to the cause of Christ. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, do be pleased to bless these few and stumbling thoughts to Thy glory, and cause us as Thy people to ever seek to maintain the glories of Christ. We do ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen.